Studio, the podcast for writers and all who are interested in books, literature, and the printed word. Write on Audio is the weekly companion podcast of Write On Magazine and the Write On suite of publications from Pen to Print. Subscribe by searching Pen to Print in your favourite podcast app to have new editions delivered to you each week. Write On Audio writing tips, inspiring your writing by sharing tips with prominent authors. Our September writing tips come from novelist Priscilla Morris. Priscilla is a British author and teacher of creative writing who lives between Ireland and Spain. Born to a Yugoslav mother and English father, she was 19 when war broke out in her mother's country. She wrote her Sarajevo-set debut novel, Black Butterflies, to understand the events that turned many of her relatives into refugees. Priscilla is one of six authors shortlisted for the annual £10,000 Wilbur Smith Adventure Writing Prize for Best Published Novel. Black Butterflies was also shortlisted for the 2023 Women's Prize for Fiction and several other notable prizes.
Thanks so much for inviting me to speak on the Write On podcast. My name's Priscilla Morris, and I'm an author and creative writing lecturer at University College Dublin. My debut novel, Black Butterflies, was shortlisted for the Women's Prize for Fiction, for the Wilbur Smith Adventure Writing Prize and other prizes. And it came out last year, published by Duckworth in 2022. Today, I'm going to talk about the adventure of writing my debut novel, focusing on the initial inspiration, the research process, the challenges I faced, and we'll end with some advice for those of you who are engaged in the thrilling and at times daunting and at others damn difficult journey of writing a novel. First, a little on what my book's about and what inspired me to write it. Black Butterflies is a work of recent historical fiction that's set during the siege of Sarajevo in the early 1990s. It follows the story of Zora, a resilient artist and teacher, and sees the war through her eyes, closely tracing her personal story of war, art, love, friendship, resilience, loss, and hope. Born to an English father and a Yugoslav mother, I grew up in London and was 19 when war broke out in my mother's country. The desire to understand the war that tore my mother's country apart and turned many of her and my relatives into refugees fueled me, while the inspiration came from two specific family stories. The first was that of my mother's uncle, Dobri Balikesic, a respected landscape painter in Sarajevo, who lost his studio and life's work during the war. He was an inspirational man who painted landscapes well into his 90s, and his story for me held out something of how art can help overcome, or at least temper, the tragedy of war. The second story was that of my father's rescue of my mother's parents 10 months into the almost four-year siege of Sarajevo. We hadn't spoken to them for months as the head post office had been blown up and the telephone lines cut, and these were in the days just pre-email. So we didn't know if they were dead or alive and were obviously extremely worried. Not only the threat of snipers and shelling, but also they had no power, heating, light or water, and very little food. And the temperature in December of 1992 was minus 20 in Sarajevo. So my father bought a flak jacket, made his way into Sarajevo, and miraculously, after 3 weeks of being trapped there himself, managed to rescue them and bring them back to safety in England. So now moving on to my research process, this was intense to say the least and very time consuming. I started off by interviewing my great uncle and aunt in depth about their war experiences. I watched documentaries, films, read newspaper articles, historical, ethnographical and political books and novels about the war. I'd say that it was my father's diary of his rescue, my great uncle's asylum statement, and a collection of letters that I found, an edited collection of letters from people trapped inside Sarajevo to their relatives in the outside world, that were probably the most useful sources for my novel, as they gave first-hand accounts and detailed the minutiae of daily life under siege. despite all this research, I still found it hard to imagine myself fully into the war. We're always told in creative writing classes, write what you know. Yet I hadn't lived through the war or any war, and this lack of direct experience froze me. I made up my mind to spend 5 months in Sarajevo. It was part of my PhD program that I was doing, which I only at that point knew from childhood visits. And I wanted to really get to know the geography of the place and to interview more people about their experience of living through the siege. I went in 2011 and saw my mother's city in all seasons, from the gasping heat of summer through the fogs of autumn and into the heavy snows of winter. I visited all the places that I would write into my novel, the Bashashia, the Goat's Bridge, the Old Town Hall, the surrounding mountains. And with two friends in an old banger, I reconstructed Zora's flight from Sarajevo when the snow was thigh deep, taking her exact route over the mountains and across the high plains to drop down to Zvornik on the border with Serbia. I spoke in depth with perhaps 10 people of their experience of the war. I didn't record or take notes. It felt like it would have felt too journalistic when people were really opening up to me, some for hours at a time, but listened deeply as a friend. I wrote up what I remembered the next morning, pages and pages, trusting myself to remember what was important and the emotional thrust of their stories. After all, this was for fictional purposes. It was about the emotional truth more than the factual truth of their experience. All of them gave me permission to use their stories, by the way. Back in England, I felt very weighed down by the war stories I'd heard. I actually grew quite depressed and struggled to write at all, or to write at all, in fact. I was quite blocked for a year. I needed time to digest and process everything I'd heard, and it did take about a year. Another problem or challenge that I faced was that at the beginning, I found it very hard to distance myself from my great uncle's story, to write a novel rather than a memoir. And in the beginning, I actually started off writing with a male protagonist who was almost identical to my great uncle. I remember clearly the day that the character of Zora came to me. She was younger than my great uncle, middle-aged rather than old, resilient, bold, warm, kind, humane. She arrived fully formed. And in that moment, Black Butterflies was born, a work of fiction rather than a memoir. I found it much easier to enter the world of Sarajevo under siege and see it through her eyes. I was more interested in seeing war through a woman's eyes. And of course, I'd also pulled the point of view closer to my own point of view with Zora as a woman. And that no doubt made it easier too. People have said that Sarajevo is much more than a backdrop in Black Butterflies, that it's almost a character in its own right. I think the richness and complexity of Sarajevo in my book comes both from my time spent living there in my 30s and from my childhood love for the place, which started with visits to my grandparents. Some of my earliest, most colourful memories are of riding on the train at the Children's Zoo in Sarajevo, eating syrupy baklava and ice-cold watermelon, the smell of coffee, cigarette smoke, walking in the surrounding mountains, swimming in cool rivers, basking on sun-baked rocks. And everywhere, I always remember laughing aunts and uncles. So I gave Zora many of my childhood memories and my love of Sarajevo. And of course, she notices her surroundings keenly. In this way, the city takes on life much as a character does and starts to breathe in the novel. In a way, you could say the main relationship in the novel is between Zora and her hometown of Sarajevo. Sarajevo, like a person, changes. It doesn't remain static and fixed. It surprises, shocks, becomes treacherous and deadly. The multicultural tolerant spirit and essence for which it was famed starts to give way, seemingly, to its opposite, hatred of the other and fear. Like a lover who turns violent, Zora's main decision she has to make is should she stay or should she go, till she finds it's too late and this freedom has been taken away from her. And still, there's the continued belief that the real essence of Sarajevo will prevail. And this is shown each time her neighbours of different ethnicities come together and help each other. Finally, what have I learnt? What can I pass on to you from writing my debut novel? Three main things, I think. First, be brave. Dare to write about something that feels a little dangerous, a little close to the bone. This is where the gold lies. Confront the fears and challenges and negative voices that whisper in your ear that you can't write something, and dare to write it. Number two, trust your fine inner instinct, your creative impulses. This can take some time, but learn to ask the right questions, listen deeply to yourself, and trust what bubbles up in response, maybe a few days or even weeks later. And number three, and perhaps most importantly, be resilient and persevere. If you keep on showing up at your desk day after day, if you keep on writing, laying down word after word, you will get there. Best of luck.
Thank you to Priscilla Morris for this insight into the writing of her novel, Black Butterflies. In the show notes, we'll share some links so you can find out more about the Wilbur Smith Adventure Writing Prize, purchase a copy of Black Butterflies, and find a clickable link to Priscilla's website, priscillamorris.org, and to her Instagram page. We're always delighted to read your contributions, so if you'd like to see your words in Write On or hear them on this podcast, please get in touch. We'll share this link and all others mentioned in today's podcast as part of our show notes. I've been Tiffany Clare, and you've been listening to Write On Audio. Write On Audio is produced by Chris Gregory, and it's an alternative stories production for pen to print. This podcast is supported using public funding by Arts Council England.